Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Native Deodorant. For 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code GHOST during checkout. That's promo code GHOST at nativedeodorant.com for 20% off your first purchase. What do you do when, as a nurse, you witness something that's not medically or physically explainable? What do you do when a ghost haunts your unit? We hear that story and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Or you can always email if you got an audio file, you recorded it on your device, just send it to Tony at realghoststoriesonline.com. Of course, your support of this program is what keeps it on the air. And in exchange for that support, we give you a lot of extras. A brand new EPP bonus episode every single week, jam-packed with some of the best stories that we got. Also, you get a free e-copy of our best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunted Encounters, told by real people. You also get the audio book as well. And there's a whole bunch of other extras there for you, too. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Only $5 a month to get all of that stuff and support the program. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
I wish I had the ability of our dog, you know, where when his butt itches, where he just kind of slides himself around.
That's what he was doing a second ago, and that's why I was looking at him like, stop that.
Were you concerned? Like maybe there'd be something there and he was leaving a mark?
Yeah.
I didn't see a mark.
No, I didn't see a mark either, but it's still gross.
Yeah. Sometimes your butt just itches. I get that, and just you kind of just want to slide around the ground. Wouldn't that be great?
No.
Just slide yourself around the ground. Like
that's gross.
It would work. It would work. Yeah, they're running around like crazy in here today. Anything exciting?
No.
Okay.
I'm
all
sorry.
Right. Well, that's good. I had some. Where is it here? I thought this was kind of interesting. The creepiest things that people have seen in the woods, because obviously, you know, the woods, a lot of ghost stories we get in the forest, and, you know, it's naturally, you know, it's kind of a place where if you see something there that shouldn't be there, it stands out and it's unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever, as a child, I know you grew up in the country, you know, somewhat too. Did you ever go wander in the woods?
Well, no, when we lived in Texas, there I was too little mm-hmm. to do that. But then when we lived in Kansas, there was no woods.
Sure.
You know?
You mean there was age restrictions on you wandering in the woods? They said there was a certain age you had to be to wander in the woods. They didn't just send
they
you
just
out?
They just didn't let me out of my backyard.
Okay.
That was my space.
Yeah.
I had plenty of trees, but it was not the woods.
I was more free range.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the intent was. Like, well, maybe he'll go get lost in the woods and
No,
I know. No, but I would go, and I had great fun going back there. Many times I went back, it wasn't like my first time I went back there was by myself, but I would go wander. I don't know. I had to be a certain age, I'm sure. They wouldn't have let me go when I was like 3 or 4, maybe 5.
Sure.
I don't know. Probably a little bit older than that, but I loved it. I just loved going and getting lost in the woods and seeing what I could see and finding what I could find, and having that giant cemetery close by helped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll tell you about one of the creepiest things that I had come across at the cemetery, or near the cemetery, I should say, in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
In just a little bit. So remind me to do that,
okay?
Because it's a creepy story. Then we got some other interesting things that people have found, seen, experienced in the woods. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to our first letter. It says, hello there. I enjoy your show very much. Keep up the great work. I'd like to tell you my story. Please don't use my name. I've been a nurse for more than 25 years, most of the time working in facilities and hospitals. There's a story that I have heard many times from other staff members. The story goes something like this. A nurse sees a doctor go into a patient's room. The nurse goes into the room to see if the doctor needs any help. And when she goes into the room, there's no doctor. She asks the patient where the doctor went. And of course, the patient has no idea what she's talking about. Or the nurse finds a patient has passed away. There are variables to these stories, but the doctor is always nowhere to be found. One might think these are fun urban legends created to keep life interesting for stressed out caregivers. I'm sure some are, but I've heard stories like this from people who have almost zero sense of humor. I have very little to say as far as unusual experiences and facilities, except for one night, many years ago. I was working the night shift in a nursing home. The floor I was on had a reputation for being creepy. The one creepy element was this wing was off the back of the building and remote from the main nurse's station. Whenever a staff member reported something unnerving happening to them, it was almost always on the back wing. At around 3 in the morning, a resident put her light on. The strange thing was that this lady, who happened to be 102 years old, was extremely independent and sharp as they come. She never put her light on for anything. My nursing assistant and I gave each other a bewildered look, wondering what she could possibly want. She ran down to check on her, and I went back to what I was doing. A few minutes later, my nurse assistant gestured for me to come down to the room. When I entered the room, the lady was sitting up on the side of her bed and very shaken. She said, "There was a man standing by my bed staring at me." Should I do that in an old lady voice?
No, don't. It ruins it.
A lot of people are right now chanting, "Do it. Do it. Do it." I can hear it. I asked her what he looked like, and she said, "He was wearing all black. I couldn't see his face. The china had never been used."
No.
"They called it the Ship of Dreams, and it wasn't really was." She told me that she asked him what he wanted, and he said, "Not you." And then she said, "He disappeared." As I'm standing in the room, another nurse assistant comes in and asked me to come to the room across the hall. As soon as I walk in the room, I could tell that the woman had passed away. I checked her. She was still warm, but no longer with us. The resident who saw the man in black never doubted for a second that she was wide awake when she saw this man. There were no men working in the building that night, and we did a room-to-room search to check and make sure that there wasn't anyone there who's not supposed to be there. For years, I've pondered, was this all just a crazy coincidence? A woman having a nightmare that lines up with a woman's time of death across the hall from her? Was the angel of death contemplating on which one to take? A woman who's lived a life, a full life to 102? Or an 80-year-old who's unable to walk, talk, or feed herself? I think he made the right decision. But did he have to frighten an innocent woman in the process? Seems like a little sloppy angel of death work to me. Thank you for letting me share my story.
Maybe he was just confused, thinking, "Oh, I'm supposed to go get this lady at the nursing home. It's got to be the oldest one there." And it wasn't.
Fallible angel of death.
Well, maybe he wasn't, you know, trying to be seen. It just kind of happened.
And I think maybe the implication that it is the angel of death is not correct. Maybe it was a loved one that was, you know, showing up to help someone pass over. And as people can be, get confused and make mistakes.
Yeah.
And maybe that's all that was.
It could be.
Like, I haven't seen her in years. I don't know what she looks like anymore. Go to the wrong room. Take the wrong person back. How does that work? If you actually go through and you get the wrong person as the transponder of death, and you show up like, "Got him." Like, "You idiot. That's not who was supposed to die today."
That's when you have people that are revived that come back to life.
Is that how that works?
I think so.
Is that like quantum leap type stuff?
Near-death experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Good story. Thank you for sharing that one with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online. Share your real ghost stories with us. Next one says, around 1995, we moved from New York to North Carolina. My dad had rented a house until the one we were having built was finished. He lived there for a few months alone while we finished the school year and closed on the house in New York. We arrived early in the summer and had to wait a day or so for the moving trucks to arrive. So the first two nights, we all slept on the floor in the living room. My first night, my younger brother woke up in the middle of the night talking about the old woman who had walked through the back doors and walked past us towards the hallway. figuring it was just a bad dream or fearing to be in a new place, I laughed it off and went back to sleep. It happened again the next night. Kind of spooked me a little. Our furniture finally arrived and we got set up. A few weeks had passed. A few small odd things had happened in those few weeks. Coil wall mounted heaters would be burning hot, but shut off with the coils black as coal. They'd usually be glowing red when on. A few small odd noises here and there, but nothing big. One day, my parents and brothers were going to visit visit another family that had moved to the area from New York as well. Being 16 at the time, I wanted to stay there and not hang out with the parents. As soon as they left, I popped a CD in the stereo in the living room and cranked the volume. The front door of the kitchen slammed, and I heard footsteps coming through the kitchen. I figured they were home and pissed I had a stereo that loud. So I hit it down and walked out into the kitchen. No one was home. Figuring I was crazy, went back into the living room and turned the stereo back up. The door slammed again. This time I distinctly heard a voice saying, "Turn it down!" I shut the stereo off and ran outside, where I stayed until they got home later that evening. I told them what had happened, and they went in search of the house to ease my mind, and of course, no one was there. The next morning, my parents sat us down and told us in a few months, my dad had been there alone. He would often hear voices coming from other rooms and footsteps in various places in the house. On several occasions, he would see apparitions of an old woman, usually standing on the staircase. It wasn't very long after our house was built. We were moving out and making sure everything was clean. My mom was scrubbing down the stairs, bathroom, and trying to remove tar and nicotine stains from the mirror, and mentioning that it probably hadn't been cleaned like this in a while, and it suddenly smelled like someone lit a cigarette. No one in our family smokes. I'd never been happier to get out of my house in my life. After school started, my brother started playing basketball on his school's team, and one of his teammates' families moved into the house after we did. Several odd things had happened to them as well. After my parents moved to Georgia, I stayed in North Carolina and rented a duplex from the same real estate company that we'd rented the creepy house from. I went in to pay rent one day, and the lady that owned the company asked me about the house and if anything odd had ever happened there. She said a few of the real estate agents do not want to go into the house alone ever. And that's the story.
And I don't blame them. I mean, it sounds like it's fairly harmless. It's just a classic haunting, but not something super dark, but still creepy.
That would be a difficult thing, being the landlord or the manager of the units, and you know, oh, this one's haunted. You've been hearing this and that. And then, you know, the people that go and live in the place, because you probably can't be like, hey, by the way.
Yeah.
If you want to rent it out anyway, you can't. And you don't want to be starting that. I mean, because some people may have absolutely no issues and some may have issues. You know, it's hard to, I don't know how you would handle that.
I don't know. You have to be so careful about what you can and cannot say.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably just don't even talk about it.
Yeah. I think I would, that would be like kind of a difficulty, I think, for me, because I'd really like feel like they need to know this, you know, but back to our conversation in just a moment. First, I need to thank our supporter today, Native Deodorant. This stuff is amazing. And when you get to know why it's amazing and what it does versus what you may have been using for a long period of time in your life, you're never going to go back to anything else. Did you know that many conventional deodorants contain aluminum, which forms a plug in your sweat glands to keep you from sweating? Nothing like plugging your body with aluminum, right? That's just a great idea. Well, Native Deodorant is made without aluminum, so you can feel better about what you're putting in your body. And you're thinking, well, okay, the aluminum kind of works, right? Well, here's the thing. There's many things you can do besides jamming aluminum into your body that will work. And Native is one of those things. It's safe, okay? Native Deodorant is formulated without aluminum, parabens or talc. It's also vegan and never tested on animals. It's good to know what you're rubbing on your body because, you know, it gets into your body. Things like coconut oil are in the shea butter. You wear deodorant every day. Shouldn't you be able to understand what it actually is that's on you? Plus, like I said, it works. Making the switch to an aluminum-free deodorant does not mean you have to sacrifice on performance. Not at all. Native will keep you smelling fresh and feeling fresh all day long. They got some great scents out there too. Their classics are rotating seasonals, guaranteed to find one that you absolutely love. Classic scents include coconut and vanilla, lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, eucalyptus and mint, and like I said, seasonal ones. It's kind of fun to see what new ones pop up. No rush to try this stuff either. Free shipping on every order, and Native offers a 30-day free return policy and exchanges in the USA. So if you try and go, maybe not for me, you don't have to worry. Exchange it. You're good. But you're not going to feel that way. You're going to love this stuff. Check out their over 9,000 five-star reviews and happy customers who made the switch to Native. That's the beauty of the world today. You can fact-check things. If you just take a couple seconds to do it, you will find over 9,000 five-star reviews on Native. You got to check this out. Native is also excited for the relaunch of their toothpaste line. Most natural toothpaste feel like natural toothpaste during brushing. Gritty, little to no foaming, you know how that was. Well, guess what? Native's toothpaste uses a special blend of naturally derived cleansers, flavors, and whiteners to deliver a great brushing experience without the trade-offs of other natural toothpaste. Two minty flavors on this. It's coming back with Native. So be sure to be watching for that and check that out as well. I absolutely love my Native deodorant. I use it every single day. It feels good. It makes you confident. It's a great product. Right now, you guys can get yourself 20% off your first purchase. Visit nativedeodorant.com. Use promo code GHOST during checkout. That's right, 20% off your first purchase. Just visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code GHOST during checkout. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online, next letter said, "This is a story I've been told by my dad. I know he would never lie to me or even exaggerate. These stories have also been backed up by my mom. Before my sister and I were born, my parents had a small house in Norfolk that was opposite the zoo in which they were both employed. My brother was about 2 or 3 years old and had grown up in that house since my parents had moved in. My mom, who had always been sensitive to spirits, would refuse to go to the toilet by herself. It was a single room down a flight of stairs in the basement. I've seen pictures, and it looks very spooky. It always get very cold down there, and lights would flicker on and off, and the door would unlock and swing open in the night and become clogged, and the toilet would start flushing by itself, and a long shadow would often stretch in front of the door for a few seconds after it would swing open. I can hear what you're thinking. Dodgy plumbing and electrics. It is a basement jack, after all. Not quite. When my parents first moved, remember, it's opposite a zoo. My mom was pregnant with their first child, my brother, and they settled down in front of the television to watch the first TV show of The Omen. Halfway through the film, the lights started flickering, and an almighty bang of what seemed to be an upstairs window led my dad upstairs to investigate. There was nothing. Came back downstairs, started watching the movie again, and suddenly another bang they could clearly hear. The howler monkeys screaming in hysterics, and the wolves barking and howling. Seconds after that, the power goes off completely. They haven't watched The Omen since. I assure you, my brother isn't evil. Finally, when my brother was 2 or 3 years old, my dad had put him down to bed. He was quite ill currently with respiratory problems and scarring on his lungs. He didn't seem to be getting much better at the time. After going downstairs, he turns to see a figure clearly walk from the landing into my brother's room. He grabs a blunt object and races upstairs, only to find my brother sitting upright, staring at the door. They move out 2 months later, and while setting him down to bed for the first time in the new house, he sleepily says, "At least that man won't be in my room anymore, keeping me awake." My brother doesn't remember this at all, only that he never slept well in that house and felt cold all the time. He gradually began to recover over the next year, and except asthma, is very much well. After moving out, my parents discovered that the property was once a set of three houses together as one block of flats that was hit during the war and eventually divided up. When they were flats, they were owned by some sort of gangster boss who, after a dispute with one of his tenants, was shot 3 times in the chest and found underneath the floorboards in the wreckage when the flats were bombed. My dad reckons it was him and was not a friendly spirit, as the atmosphere always seemed black and oppressive. Very eerie situation to grow up in.
There's no way I would have watched The Omen as a pregnant lady.
You wouldn't watch The Omen in any sense ever.
No, but then to have stuff going on in the house while you're watching it, I would just freak out.
Do you think The Omen was a catalyst for any of this stuff? Like, caused any of this stuff to happen, or...
No, I think maybe it was more so, oh, they're watching creepy stuff. Well, I'll show them some creepy stuff.
Okay.
More so, not necessarily an invitation, but just a signal that they, you know, they entertain the idea of that being a possibility.
So you don't believe that watching a movie can conjure something?
I did not say that. I don't believe The Omen did it. And we're not going to watch The Conjuring 2 because that freaks me out.
The Conjuring 3 is being made now. I don't know what that one's about.
I don't know either.
But you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Are you afraid that it could conjure something up by watching The Conjuring?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There's been enough stories of people having things happen watching that movie.
I should have never read this story in an episode where you're in the room, because now it...
Sorry.
It just like solidifies your belief.
I don't like creepy movies anyway.
Yeah, go figure.
I like psychologically creepy movies, but not like ghostly creepy movies.
Yeah, and that's I like, you like the kind of dark, like kind of murder. Sometimes they're paranormal based somewhat.
Sometimes.
They're not, but we had to like stop watching, what was it? Fear?
Evil.
Evil on CBS. Together,
yeah,
because it was a little too jump scary for you. But if you like jump scary, it's a good show.
I don't like jump scary.
Yeah. So when I was a kid wandering around out in the fields by myself in the woods, being raised by wolves, back when I left the tent, one of the creepiest things to me was getting near the cemetery that I'd wander around by. There was this shed. And, you know, a shed kind of in the woods is just kind of weird to begin with when there's no other structure around. And it was really kind of decrepit and falling apart, and I didn't know what the heck was in it. And I went and looked into the shed. And all throughout the shed are gravestones. All over the place, like broken gravestones or... Or I think some gravestones that may have been what would be the correct way to say a gravestone that has a misspelling on it? Mistyped? Carved?
Yeah.
Because I think once you kind of put a letter in a engraved piece of granite, you're kind of...
Misengraved.
You're stuck with that. Yeah. So there was some of that. But it was, I don't know, I found that almost creepier than all the gravestones in the cemetery, because it was just this shack of, you know, decrepit gravestones that were kind of molding, or not molding, but they had moss growing on them and stuff. It was great. It was great fun. But that was one of the creepiest things that I'd ever seen in the woods, was discovering that. Did you have anything from the woods that you ever had happen, whether it be a camping trip or anything like that?
Not really. We would go to Colorado quite a bit and go camping up in the mountains. And sometimes we'd go walking towards where there used to be mines, and you'd come across falling down cabins and things like that from where the miners used to live.
Sure.
That was always kind of creepy when you go around a bin and you're not expecting one and there's one there or something like that. And just kind of, it's just interesting, you know?
Not necessarily scary, but just kind of...
Not scary, but still... old and falling apart and just in the middle of the woods.
Here's some of these from this list. Someone came across a bunch of Elmo dolls stapled to a tree miles from any road.
That's weird.
How would you feel if you came across that? You'd probably be like, from a distance, like, oh my God, look, the tree is covered with cardinals. And then you get close, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I think you'd be really concerned of like being... whoever is going to be around there, you know, wandering around. This one says, when I was younger, we would go camping at a place in Tennessee. The campsite we got was always the best, as my grandfather was best friends with the owner of the place where you could camp. The place backed up into nothing but miles of woods with the nearest neighbor, like a 2 or 3 miles away. At our campground, we had a big creek with a bridge overhead. Well, on the third day we were there, I remember everyone being around us, being around the fire, and me wandering off over to the bridge. There, on the other side, were a group of black-robed people staring back at me. They just stared, no faces being shown. One had some kind of a knife, while another motioned for me to come over with them. When they started over the bridge toward me, I ran back and my family grabbed their sidearms and started to point at them. They calmly went back over their bridge, and we never saw them again.
That would take the cake.
Black-robed people coming through the woods. Like, come here.
No.
That's just horrible. I wonder about that one. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to call. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. So I am an EPP member, and I first came across your podcast when the Italian Greek lady had a friendly shadow person in her house. I think I wrote to you explaining that I had one as a child who I had called Marcus. Anyway, that's not the story. So a little bit of background. I live in the Pacific Northwest, and I'm not going to give the name of the hospital. However, I work in a psychiatric institute. And one of the things that we were kind of warned when we were employed is that a lot of people have died here, you know, et cetera. There's a lot of atrocities that had happened, and didn't come out and say that it was paranormal, but, you know, implying that it was. Anyway, fast forward. So I work the graveyard shift. I'm kind of an anti-people person, so I prefer to work at night so I can do what I need to do during the day. Well, the particular floor that I work at is an all-women unit. And these women have an array of mental health illnesses, diagnoses. Some don't have diagnoses because they're unique. But there has always been whispers about this particular floor that there was something down the east hall. I didn't pay any attention to it. I know that this place is haunted. I've experienced things in the hallways, in the stairways, in the elevators. It's gotten to the point to where before I leave the parking lot, I tell whoever might have been following me that night, because you can hear footsteps behind you, that they cannot come home with me. They need to stay here. Maybe it's superstition, maybe it's not. However, I'm not dumb enough to be unprepared. So I'm working the shift, and we take turns doing rotations. And what these rotations are is we basically go down each hall and we check in every individual room to make sure that the patients are sleeping. And if they're not sleeping, we document it accordingly. Or if they are, we document it. So I'm walking down the hall, and I'm not, you know, hearing anything out of the ordinary. I'm checking the doors, and these doors are very heavy. They're metal, and they have a very distinctive click when one of the doors open. You can be as stealthy as you want to. That click will always be there. So I'm checking the doors, and then I get to the East Hall. And mind you, I've totally forgotten the stories of the East Hall. We've heard all sorts of stories. We've seen all sorts of stories. Security has stated they don't go to certain places when they see a particular shadow on the screen. You know, it's just a lot has been said, and that particular warning has definitely been lost in the jumble. So I'm walking down the hall, and as I get towards the end of the hall, I'm checking, and I just kind of feel something weird. And the best way to describe this is your sixth sense kicks in, and I feel a breeze on the back of my neck. And the first thing I think to myself is, oh, Lord, here we go. So I turn around, and I start, you know, walking back to the nurse's station, and I hear a click of the door. Now, it's not uncommon for the female patients to come out, especially if they're light sleepers. And I turned around thinking I'm going to see one of my patients. And I don't see anything. Now, if the door has been opened, there's going to be a little lip in the doorway. So I'm going to know that the door's been recently opened. Nothing. Completely smooth surfaces. So I pause and I listen. And then there's nothing. So I continue to walk. This time I start to hear footsteps behind me. I turn around again. Nothing. So I'm like, okay. So I go and I walk and I keep walking. And this time I'm walking a little bit quicker than I normally do. And one of my coworkers looks at me and she goes, hey, what is going on? And I said, I don't know what it is, but I feel weird down there. And I explained to her everything that had happened. And she looks at me and her face goes pale. And I go, what? And she goes, nothing. I don't want to tell you. And at this point, I give her the look. We've worked together well enough to know that the look on my face indicates that I will get what she wants to tell me. Negotiations and interrogations are completely possible. Her choice as to which. And so she just looks at me and she goes, okay. She says, so there was a patient down that hall. And I was like, okay. She's like, she's not here anymore. I was like, okay. And she said that she would see something inside her room. And I was like, what do you mean? She says, I don't know. So she repeated to me what the patient had said. So I guess the patient would come down about 2 a.m, same time as I'm doing my checks on this evening. And she would say, there's something in my room and it's not letting me go to sleep. And when she described it as a dark, hot shadow sitting on her desk in the corner, staring at her. And then the patient continued and said that it would crawl up the wall and across the ceiling, and it would tap along the walls. And then it would open and it would shut the doors. And she would get really frightened and she would come down and she would say that there's something in her room. Well, my coworker didn't particularly pay any mind to it because, mind you, these persons suffer with, you know, mental illness. So she basically just said, well, you know, hey, do you want a PRN? Then she would go and she would, you know, get the person, you know, the appropriate medication assigned. However, there was this one particular night when she went down and she heard the clacking along the walls. And so my coworker was telling me about how one night she had heard the clacking and she heard the door open and shut and the footsteps behind her. And so I was like, okay. I was like, for now on, we are doing checks together because it felt incredibly weird down there. I can't quite explain it, just that it felt weird. So we continue the shift and everything's fine. And I go downstairs to get the mail and the parcels. So I go into the elevator and I hear the clicking that she had described in the elevator. And I was like, okay. So I'm thinking, you know, it's cold. Maybe it's the, you know, belay system or whatever. I'm the most logical person out there. However, I'm not naive enough to say that everything has a, you know, equal, you know, everything has an answer. I know better. So I'm not jumping to paranormal immediately. I'm just like, okay, it's the belay system, it's whatever. So I scan my badge again and the lights flicker. And I'm like, okay, so this is an old building. So I scan my badge again and I push the bottom floor and I start to go down. And just as I started going down in between the floors, the lights flicker and the elevator dropped. Not far enough, but enough to give a good jolt. So finally I got irritated and I said, look, I know you're here. I have heard you. I have sensed you. I get it. You are here. And I told it, I said, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you are. I was like, but you cannot be in this elevator with me. You cannot be following me around. I'm not going to be afraid of you. I suggest you go terrorize the new staff. I'm not playing. I'm too tired. I don't care. And unless you're going to make coffee, I don't want to deal with you. And I'm not even making this up. As soon as I got finished with my, what I call my mom voice, the light came on and everything started functioning again. So the remainder of that shift, nothing ever happened. And so I was like, okay. But anyway, this was a relatively unique experience that happened about 2 weeks ago. And I just wanted to share it with you. If you guys want to know what building it is, I will email it to you so you can do your own research. But it is considered one of the most haunted buildings in the Pacific Northwest. It has a long history of paranormal activity. And to make matters worse, it used to be an Indian burial ground before it was a psychiatric hospital. So if anyone's seen Poltergeist, when they, you know, move the tombstones and not the bodies, you know, imagine that, but a Native American burial ground to the point where they're bringing ground penetrating radar at times before they build on anything, just in case there's still, you know, Native American bodies that we haven't fully accounted of. And then on top of that, you know, we have, you know, random, you know, memorial gardens where, you know, the psychiatric patients are still, you know, buried. So Indian burial ground plus, so Stephen King plus, you know, Poltergeist, you know, plus, you know, I don't know, whatever. Was it the Pet Cemetery? That's pretty much the vibe you get at night. Anyway, I just wanted to call and share my story. If you don't want to use it, that's fine. If you do, that's great. Love your show. Jenny, thanks for keeping Tony in line. I have a mouthy fiance as well, and I have to keep him railed in. So anyway, thank you guys.
There you go.
I hate that the mental health care facilities so often have their own paranormal going on, because that's just torture for the patients.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to be believed.
No.
Even when something is going on.
They're not. And we know from doing this show for so long, they're at the highest risk of having an interaction with something.
Yeah. That just seems like just the hotbed of hell right there, of everything that's going on there, where you're on the burial ground. Mm-hmm. You are have a facility like that. Wow. They should offer tours.
I'm just glad when she told it, you know, to leave her alone and go do something else, that it did. And it seems to have listened to this point. So hopefully it keeps doing that.
It was a reasonable thing. It wasn't some sort of dark, demonic entity. It was just, you know, it was conscious and it was probably a person. Went, oh, okay, I'll stop freaking you out now.
Mm-hmm. So.
Good story. Thank you for sharing that with us. Do appreciate it. If you like the program, become an extra podcast person. That's an EPP. That's a supporter of our program. I keep pressing the wrong buttons. How about this one right here? There we go. An EPP at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus episodes of the show. It's only $5 a month and all the other extras that come with it. Ghostpodcast.com. Or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.